Wow, this is the greatest day of my life now. I'm just kidding. I really enjoyed the trip just because I came to a realization about, like, what are my values in? Like, what do I value in life? What do I invest time in? And I just want to challenge you guys not to invest your time in, like, money and, like, I don't know, just, like, stuff. I mean, so many times we just, like, get what we want, instant gratification. You know, we get it now, we get it quick. And, you know, that's really not where it's at. Like, people down there have so little. And, like, for me to just see that and be like, wow, and then go and talk to them, it's so much easier to go up and talk to someone in a third world country that has nothing, because there's less barriers. Here in, like, America, we set up so many barriers and so many, like, well, I'm better than you because I have the iPhone 7, so it's like, whatever. Like, over there, you go up and just talk to whoever, and you're like, you can't even speak the language, but just a smile or playing a game of soccer with them, it's just like, you're like their best friend now, you know? Greatest feeling in the world. And, like, we, like, so many times we get so caught up in ourselves and the stuff that we do and the things that we have and the things that we don't have and the things that we want that we really miss the point of it shouldn't be like, well, I want to have this, this, and this so that I can be friends with him, her, and him. It should just be like no social barriers, really. Don't let stuff and wealth and prosperity get in the way of just relationships, because all that stuff's just going to go away anyway. Like, you're not going to have the iPhone 7 when the iPhone 13 comes out, and even then, like, the next thing's around the corner. But all that time, you're missing out on the best thing, missing out on relationships with other people and relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, there's no better friend than him. So that's my challenge to you guys. Really enjoyed the trip, by the way.
So this was, like, definitely the best week of my life. And one of the things that I love the most is, like, some of those kids out there, like, have, like, nothing, yet they're so, like, on fire for God. Like, I don't know, like, sometimes we complain about, like, not having a phone or, like, that we want. And they're out there, like, playing, like, with, like, a piece of plastic, but still, like, they're loving God and they're worshiping him. And so I think that's, like, we need to learn from that and not be, like, caught up, like, what he was saying, like, with what we have or we don't have. And one of the things that I really loved was, like, the worship service. Like, they spoke in Spanish, so, like, we couldn't necessarily, like, understand the lyrics, but it was, like, amazing. Like, the Spirit of God, like, you could feel was in there. Like, there was no language barrier once we all started, like, praising God. So, like, yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Hey guys, well, those of you that go to MICS, I'm just going to repeat everything I said, so you can deal with it because I don't really care. Alright, so our main focus of the trip this time was, like, building relationships and all day, every day, which you can explain later. But and when we're building relationships, we're trying to build relationships with these people down there so we can open the door for us to be able to go back and continue to share Jesus with them. Because you're not just going to be able to walk up to someone you don't know and just say, hey, Jesus loves you, accept him. You got to build that relationship first. You got to become their friend, know them by name, know how many kids they have, how many dogs they've had in their life. I don't know. Just random stuff. And that's what we did basically the whole time we were down there. We played with little kids, played soccer with them. And you guys know I'm not good at soccer. I'm terrible at soccer. Saw me in the game. And So, well, I played Duck Duck Goose most of the time. It wasn't really soccer for me. So, anyway, and I was thinking, and the whole week, they had also been talking about, Robin Schuker also talking about service. Like, you got to be able to serve others in order to build a relationship with them. And so that was really one thing that stuck with me is service. So I found this scripture last night, and I think it really definitely pounds what that whole meaning of service is. It's in Philippians 2. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And what I got out of that verse was basically that that Jesus, he was God. Like, ever since the beginning of time, that we can't even fathom when the beginning of time was. There was no beginning of time. And so Jesus has been there the whole forever eternity, and he was God that whole time. He had all the anything he could ever want. He could have, because he was God. He was 100% God, had no flaws, no nothing. And he decided to give that up. It was his choice. He wasn't forced by God the Father to become a human. It was his choice. He gave up everything he had to become a dirty, disgusting human like us. And that's probably one of the biggest things that keeps popping in my mind all the time when I think about service. Is he came to earth and became a son of a carpenter, who carpenters weren't wealthy at all back in the day. And he was a servant the whole time he was here on earth. He never thought about himself before he thought about others. And you never see where he fed his self desires or anything like that. It was always other people before himself. And that was just really one thing that I think when building relationships you have to have. You have to be able to serve other people before you can become their friend or have a good relationship with them. And the whole week we were trying to be servants to those Guatemalan people. Every day they would come to our lunch. They would come to our base camp and have lunch with us. And we all, as students and some of the leaders, we served. We had a specific like little tarp, and we served those people. Like we would get plates of food, and we would fill it up with food. We'd get lemonade, and we'd take it to them. And then we'd try to build relationships with them after we brought them food, after we brought them a drink, after we threw away their trash, just whatever. And that was for me probably the most important factor in building relationships with those people. But if we have time, can I tell the story of the pastor's house? Okay. Well, throughout the week, when Rob and Chuka were working with the pastors, they would go to each pastor's house. Well, not each pastor, but two of the pastors' house they went to at night for dinner. And they would take a couple students along. And Wednesday night, me, Justin, and Caleb Hobbs went. And we got to go and eat dinner with these people. And so we loaded up. I think we ended up taking like 15 plates of dinner, because this guy had a huge family. And we got in the truck and we drove probably about 20 minutes to his village. And we get out and it's getting dark. And so we go to his little hut that's the size of the bathroom in there probably. And it's just a little hut made of sticks lining the wall, and a couple trusses holding up the roof with palm fronds over top. Like, you can't even imagine the living conditions there till you're actually in there. Yeah, it looks sort of like that. Not really. They did a lot better. They're really good at that stuff. I guess people in the jungle get transported all over the country to build huts. And, no, I'm not bashing your hut. I'm just saying that I would not live in it. Anyway, but, and we went into this guy's hut. It was him, his wife, and he had three boys and a little girl who had a skin disease. And, so six people living in that tiny little hut. We walk in, there's three hammocks lined up, and then all their stuff is just everywhere. All the stuff they own is either on, like, they have like two little tables. It was either on that table or hanging up on the wall or something. That was everything that they've ever owned in life is in that little hut with their six family members and their three little hammocks. And as soon as we walked in, his wife was real hospitable. She offered us their hammocks. Like, she had us sit in their hammocks when we ate dinner, and she brought out a brand new pack of candles, which, I mean, for them, a candles could be a week's wages. You never know. And she broke out three candles and lit them, and that's all the light we had. It was pitch black, and we had three little candles on the tables that was lighting it up. And we started eating, and then Rob and Chupka were talking in Spanish, so I didn't really understand a bunch of what they were saying. But they're talking to him, and they're just making intimate, personal conversation with him to try to build that relationship farther and ask him what needs they had. They're talking about a bunch of church stuff and what was going on in the church. And we sat there for probably like 2.5 hours just talking to this guy. And another guy came in, and they were talking, and I was kind of just sitting there trying to keep the kids off of me. Like little kids, they would headbutt each other. It was the weirdest thing. These little kids, this one little boy, he was the smallest, and the middle-aged kid, we brought Cokes to him, and he accidentally knocked over his Coke, and so the little kid gets up, and he, like, headbutts his brother right in the head, like, super hard. Like, if I did that, I'd probably cry. Like, these kids have such hard heads. And, anyway, so we were trying to pay attention to what they're trying to say, but it was just really, that was probably my favorite part of the whole trip, is because we actually got to go into the village and eat dinner with one of the pastors who's really cool. His name was Marcos. And that was probably just being in that little hut with three little candles lighting it up was just really probably the biggest eye-opener for me in their culture and insight to how they live and every day. And so, yeah, that's it.
How's it going, guys? So the first night that they went to one of the pastor's house, me and Levi were blessed to go with Rob and Chupka to a guy named Jorge. And we brought a bunch of food, like Robbie said. I'm pretty much going to repeat his story. But it was real eye-opening because, I mean, we'll go to the villages during the day with a big group of people, but just to feel the intimacy of them inviting you into their home. And I mean, I couldn't understand everything Rob and Chupka were saying to Jorge, but I could tell it was real intimate and personal. And it really touched me, as I know it probably did Levi. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, this was probably, like, my favorite part of the trip, like Robbie said. And, I mean, we went down this long dirt road, went over a wobbly bridge that I almost fell off of if Chupka didn't have his light. Walked up some trail, and then there's this little hut, you know, and Rob and Chupka, we couldn't speak Spanish, but, you know, they made a relationship with him, you know, to share the gospel with him and, you know, ask him about his faith. And that was probably the most amazing part for me, was that, you know, God's power was, you know, all across this world. But before that, I think it was just kind of, I just realized that it was more here. And once we got down there, I realized that, you know, that we all shared that love for God. And that was pretty much it.
Piece of gum, and I saw she had a bunch of holes in her shirt, so I gave her my shirt, and I wore one of Brookie's shirt, an extra shirt that she had.
Okay. Hey.
It was the drive of the trip was relationships, and that's really what we wanted to do, because I'll tell you what, these guys were talking to you about going to these pastors' houses, and I sat with Rob with these pastors, and you don't understand. These guys, I mean, Caleb, how old are you, Ken, Caleb? Where's Caleb? Caleb, how old are you? 17. He's 17. Levi, how old are you? Where's Levi? 16. These guys are 17, 16 years old. They're out in the middle of the jungle in Central America. In the middle of the night, there's no electricity or anything. We're walking through these bridges. We're crossing rivers. We're going through these paths. Not even sure. Nobody knew where this guy lived. I mean, we didn't. And parents are just like, what in the world did they get these people into? And so we're going through the middle, and finally we come up on this hut, and these little kids kind of led us the way to Pastor Jorge's house. And we're talking to this guy, but the stuff that we talked to this guy about, it was some intense stuff. I mean, we challenged him. We talked about his faith. We talked about his doctrine, what he believed about the gospel, what he believed about the church. And the reason we could do that is because we established these relationships with him. We would have never been able to do that. You can't just go up to a pastor and say, hey, what's up with your doctrine? No, we showed him that we loved him. And that's why we were able to do that. And I just wanted, one of the things that we really wanted to attack down there was the whole idol worship thing, because they mixed Christianity and idols. They would basically say, yeah, I want to pray a prayer and get baptized and get saved and go to heaven. And then they'd go home and then they'd bow down to these pagan idols in their homes. And then they would call a witch doctor when they needed somebody cured. And so they were mixing Christianity and their idol worship. But unfortunately, and we look at that, if we looked at somebody go into their hut after praying a prayer to God and praising Jesus with their hands raised, and they go home to this pagan idol and then start praying to it, we'd be like, whoa, what's going on? That, you can't serve two masters. You can't do that. And then here we are in the States, and we do the exact same thing. Yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want to praise Jesus. And then I'll go home, and there's a scratch on my car, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, what happened? Oh yeah, that car is going to burn someday. That car is going to be dust. That car was made with human hands. That car is my idol. So I want to encourage you, don't be that guy. You know, don't be the guy that says, yeah, praise Jesus, and then go home and worship some idol, whatever idol that might be. Because that's what we were talking to them, and it challenged me. I'm like, how many idols do I have in my life? How many times do I go home after church, or go home after praising God, or go home after a prayer meeting, and then I've got some idol in my life that I just divide my attention to? But anyway, the relationships that my daughter talked about, that's why we were able to do that, is because of those relationships. And I encourage all of you to establish those relationships with those around about you, so that you have that credit that you can go and talk to them about stuff. All
right. Okay. This is my second time going to Guatemala. And the last day, me, Brooke, and Hope were going to the orphanage, or no, to the nutrition center. And I was holding babies and just loving on them, and there was this little boy. He walked up and he was had his hands out and was all he wanted was love, and I feel like that's how God is. All he wants is our love, and yeah, so.
Okay, so our last day in the jungle, we had a little baptismal thing, and one of the ladies from the Kechi village came up, and she got baptized. And one of the things she, I guess, talked to Rob about and her pastor was when she got baptized, she was not only just saying that she leaves behind everything of her past life and everything, but she was, because she had a Catholic family, is that what it was? Catholic family that was really pressuring her and she was staying Catholic and everything else there. And what really ministered to me was that when she got baptized, she was saying, I leave that behind. I leave back what my family wants me to do and what my friends want me to do. And I feel like a lot of times in our Christian walk, we'll leave certain things behind, but we don't completely leave everything behind us. And what this lady actually really showed to me was that she was clinging completely to Christ, and not just partially to him and partially to other things. She was leaving back her family, her old religion. She was leaving back everything. And I feel like that was a big minister to me, because it just showed me how someone can just leave back everything and completely and fully cling to Christ.
Okay. I am Mrs. Chase, the Spanish teacher in Mary Ellen Christian School. I know some of you, most of you, when you was like this, no. Are you all almost Paul size? Okay. Yes. Well, when I went to Guatemala, almost everybody is my size, so I feel. Okay. I will tell you that was my privilege working with all the students from Mary Ellen Christian School and from the other school also. Not only they behave excellent, when we have anything to say or ask for, they did immediately without arguing or something. When we went in traffic for hours and hours, they was happy, singing, and was a good experience. Also, now they learn more Spanish, so they know why they are learning that, and they try speak Spanish and also Quechua, the language. Then I try also to learn, but they learn faster, obviously, they are younger. But it was a great experience, more when we went to different houses and pray with them in Spanish, Kichi. And I remember one house, one lady was saved 2 weeks before, and she really wants people pray for her. So my student in Spanish, they pray, they say some Bible verses that they learn in my class, and I was privileged to be there with them. So thank you so much.
All right, I'm a little more prepared now because, okay, I'm just going to go ahead. So when me and Brooke went down to Guatemala, it was our last day in the jungle, and we just got done eating lunch with the Quechua people, and we were walking them down to the bus, or actually walking up because we were going uphill. So we were giving them toothbrushes and toothpaste and shampoo and conditioner. And after we got done doing that, they were all on the bus, and me and Brooke walked to the side of the bus, and they were all holding their hands out of the bus, and like for me and Brooke to come up and hold their hands with them, and just me and we were just trying to love on them before they left, because we didn't think we were ever really going to see them all again. So we were just fellowshipping with them, and then we saw that they kind of got teary-eyed, and me and Brooke started to kind of get teary-eyed too, but it really didn't stop, because they started really crying, and then me and Brooke really started crying, because it was sad, because they never really cry, I don't think, because I don't know, but me and... So, and it was just really touching to see them all crying and not wanting us to leave, because we made such an impact in their lives. Like, I think we did, at least. So, yep.
Another part of that is when we went on the bus and, you know, we were hugging, like she said, and so we go on the other side of the hill. Okay, and they were holding out their hands, and we'd grab their hands, and they would not let, like, one of this kid would not let go of my hand. And I was like,
oh my gosh, here it comes. Like, I'm just going to start crying in your arms, little boy. Like, oh, that's weird, but I am. And so I kept holding on to his hand. And he had learned something that day in English. And he was like, I have peace. And I was like, okay, yeah, I know. And I was like, yes, you have peace. And he looked back at me and he was like, you have peace. And he pointed to me that I had peace. And that's something that the last day that I really came out with is that, like, the Holy Spirit's peace is with us. He's the ultimate comforter and he's with us. And just, it was great to see them. And, like, for so little, I know we emphasize how much, like, they don't have, but they're just, they have this peace about them, they have this love about them, and they just want to hold you and hug you, and when they cried, it made you cry, and you just feel this big empathy for them, so thank you.
Did you say that?
Oh, I didn't say that. No, that's all right.
Oh. Well, the goal of the trip was relationships, which you've heard a whole bunch of times. So after she was stuck there, like, bawling her eyes out, really mad at us, she looked at Mr. Chupka and she's like, relationships, huh? Mission accomplished. And then she, like, stomps off all mad to her hammock. We didn't see her for 2 days, but that's okay. We thought a Guatemalan stole her. what was I going to say? Oh, there are some people that didn't share, so I want to pick on them real quick, like this guy, Tommy, right here. If you can't see Tommy, he's got a broken leg. Can you hold your leg up? So, look, it's broken. I'm not lying. Oh, careful. Tommy was, like, the best sport in the world on this trip, and he's one of the people that really stood out to me because the kids get a broken leg and had just broke it, like, 2 days before the trip, which is horrible in itself. But then the entire time, like, there was not one complaint, and he really kind of resembled the entire team. There's 40 people in a jungle, right? We're sleeping in hammocks. There's bugs the size of my palm. Like, it was nuts, and, like, this team really understood that it's about loving other people. And it wasn't about, hey, I'm uncomfortable, I'm hot, I'm sweaty. But I really did come to love other people because I love my God so much. And so when you see their t-shirt that says all day, every day, the goal was that a lot of times when we think about mission trips, we think like I'm going to do a mission and then I leave it there and I'm done. And really that isn't mission at all. Because each of us called for it by Jesus Christ, we're on mission. And so our mission is all day, every single day, whether we're in some other country or we're right here with our own families, our own churches. We should be living this mission. And so kind of what we want to do tonight is I'm going to ask the whole team to come up here. Jump up here. Come stand across the front. There was someone else I had to pick on too, but I forgot. I had it in my mind back there. There's so many of them. All right. Oh, I did. I wanted to say one more thing before we do this. All right. Our theme is it's relationships, right? And how we do mission, not just by throwing food or supplies at people, but we truly love them. And it takes time to make relationships. And you can get dirty making relationships. And it's messy. And emotions get involved. So a lot of times we'd rather just throw food at people or T-shirts when we're doing that type of service. And we don't want to take the time to really love somebody and get to know them and their story and all the chaos that comes with life. And so we kind of avoid that, and it's easier just to hand out food and say, have a good day, God loves you, bye. And we really didn't want to do that this year. Like, there's not one person standing up here that wanted that as their goal. And one of these things where I saw an awesome, like, relationship barrier broken with these people, I have to explain them real quick, is that they're very, very shy. So when you hear them talking, like, they don't cry because they're almost emotionless. They're very, very shy people. And they don't look you in the eye when they walk by. They don't shake your hand. The most you get from them is, and they just walk by. Like, they're extremely, extremely extroverted. Oh, that was a joke. They're introverted. They're like, does he know what that word means? No, I do. Just a bad joke. So when Levi was baptized, for Levi, it's a really memorable moment to be baptized on a mission trip, and it's awesome. But one thing Levi probably didn't even recognize is that these people see this American, and he's getting baptized in their river. Now, for them, they see Americans come all the time, and they think, oh, here comes another Christian. White person, Western American, at least middle class, oh, Christian. They bring God with them. And so they already see and expect you to already have God, already know like religion. And so when they see you come, they're just assuming. So then when they see Levi down there and he's getting baptized, and then this lady that, did someone talk about the lady who got baptized? Who used to worship idols in her house and basically was like the voice for the town to be like, why you get rid of your idol? You know, she'd walk up to them and she was a big lady, okay? People were scared of this woman. And so when she came up knocking on your door, like, I heard you became a Christian, they were like, uh-oh, you know, what's she gonna do? This was that lady. During one of our classes, she decided to give up all that stuff, get saved, and be baptized. And she's baptized the same time as Levi. All these people standing around are looking like, what is an American doing getting baptized alongside a Guatemalan? Like, we're all broken. Every single one of us need Jesus. And so that baptism became this amazing cultural like break of this barrier that was between us to say, we serve the same God. We need the same Jesus to heal all of us. And so like that was probably the most impactful moment for me on that trip, was just to see the response of the people looking down like, an American's getting baptized in our river? Holy cow. And if you had seen the way they opened up to us after that, like hugs, and I had these little old shriveled prune-looking ladies coming up, like shaking my hand, looking me in the eyes, and hugging me, and I was like, ah, ah. Like, what? You didn't even look at me before, and they're hugging on me? Like, it was incredible. So anyway, I'll stop talking. This is what I want to do. If you all will stand up. All day, every day means this, that we're gonna love everybody, whether we're in Guatemala or here. So the team is going to go break out, even Tommy, but you can stay near the front, Tommy, and mingle with these people that are out here, okay? Go, mingle. And you all stand there. We're just going to mingle around you and in between you and find people to be by. All right, now quietly mingle. And as you find people to mingle, we don't want this all-day, everyday theme to stay in Guatemala because it's our life now, and we make that commitment. We want you all to hold us accountable to that. But here's the other part. We pray that over you as well. So it's not just the people who went to Guatemala that we need to live for Christ all day, every day. It's all of us, okay? So I see you're finding people. Give a huge hug to all the people around you. Ready? Go. Hug. Squeeze. Break that American barrier and love on some people. Okay. Good. Make relationships. Awesome. All right. Now, Guatemala team, I need you to listen up. Beautiful. Good hugging going on. Good hugging. All right. Now, hug silently. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, hi. I got tackled. All right. This is what I want you to do. We're going to pray. And in Guatemala, they pray a little different than us here in America. We can be kind of comfortable with the way they pray, but one person leads and everybody else still prays, but they pray out loud. There's no like everybody else is silent thinking about what they're going to eat for dinner. Like they all just pray and they don't care. And it sounds weird to us at first, but we like it as a Guatemala team. So we're going to pray over you right now together. So don't freak out. We're not going like all nuts on you, but we're going to just pray like open. Okay. So let's pray. Father God, we love you so much, Lord, and I just thank you for every person that you brought here tonight. And God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that as we go forth to live every single day, all day long for you, Jesus, that you just be the source of our strength, God, that you be the focus of what we do and why we do it. We love you, and we just pray that your name would be famous here in Merritt Island, God, and that you would use us humbly as your servants to build relationships with other people and to truly love. And I just pray you be with every person in this room, that we would learn that for your glory and for your sake. In your precious name we pray. Amen.